Our first reading today is from Matthew. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And now, Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
Friends, this morning we gather in a sanctuary made sacred by our honest presence, with our joys and especially our sorrows, our worries for the world, and our weariness for what we carry day by day. We gather as we do each and every week, not as people who have left their pain at the door or who walk through life untouched by sorrow, but as a community who knows what it means to carry burdens. Grief has had a steady presence in our congregation for the last 8 months. Our hearts are heavy with grief, both close to home and far beyond our doors, the kind of layered sorrow that each of us carries in our own way. But in the midst of it all, we hear the words of the psalmist who has spoken to generations, assuring us that God is near the brokenhearted. Even in emptiness, there is holy presence. These are gentle words offered to hearts like ours, heavy with loss, anxious for our communities, and aching for a world in need of healing. They are not words of quick solutions or easy answers, but invitations to bring our full selves, griefs and fears and all, into God's loving presence. I know that in these past months, grief has been personal for many. We, as a church, have walked through loss after loss. 7 beloved members of our community have died since the end of last year. And that number is more than a statistic. It is the echo of laughter missed at coffee hour, an empty seat beside us at worship, a hand we reach for that is no longer here. We mourn beloved family members, life partners, treasured friends, mentors, teachers, and pillars of our shared life. Each death is a wound, some raw, some healed over, but tender in memory. And I know that many among us also carry the grief of other loved ones who have passed, be it recently or long ago. I see the saints that you hold close, parents and siblings, friends, even beloved pets. And I know that there are also those among us who carry grief for loss of relationships altered by distance or brokenness, or perhaps heartache over dreams dashed or expectations upset. There are many forms of this ache. Vicki Harrison wrote, "Grief is like the ocean. It comes on waves ebbing and flowing. Sometimes the water is calm, and sometimes it is overwhelming. All we can do is learn to swim." The road to healing isn't linear or predictable, and some days will bring sorrow we thought we'd move past. But we gather today knowing that whatever form our grief has taken, it is welcome here. God's nearness is not reserved for the perfect or the composed, but especially for those who, again, as the psalmist assures us, are crushed in spirit. I also want to talk about another experience of grief present here today. a grief that stretches far beyond the sanctuaries of our own hearts. We live in a moment when many, especially those who hold hope for justice, inclusion, and peace, are weighed down by the state of our nation, the anguish in the wider world, and the crying out of creation. We watch in this country as rights long defended seem to erode, as communities are pitted against each other, and as the common good feels distant and fragile. Sociologists call this public grief, a sorrow for the harm and injustice we see, and for the world that we are passing on to future generations. We witness violence, intolerance, and suffering, sometimes wondering if hope can even survive under such weight. And our hearts break at tragedies far beyond our own reach. The suffering in Gaza, for example, where war and famine steal life and dignity, I know burdens the hearts of many of you. Amongst the weight of it all, we are at risk of compassion fatigue, the exhaustion from witnessing more heartbreak than we can hold. Yet even here, Jesus's invitation remains. Rest is for all who are weary. Even when our sorrow is for distant neighbors we will never meet or the neighbor just down the street. I name both the personal and communal grief, not for comparison's sake, but to acknowledge the sheer heaviness that so many carry, and the sense of never escaping its weight that seems especially present for many of us these days. But it is here and here, in the swirling both of public and private grief, that Jesus' invitation breaks in. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What a relief that Jesus doesn't ask us to come polished or problem-free. The invitation is for the drained, for those bent beneath heavy loads, for those close to giving up hope. The invitation is for you to bring your own soul weariness to God. Jesus continues, "Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." His yoke is not another burden, but the promise that God shares what we cannot carry alone. The yoke of Jesus, you see, is always shared, shoulder to shoulder, step by step. This shared yoke shapes a life carried not out of force, but out of kindness and mutual bearing. This gentleness is not about fixing everything, but discovering that together, even the heaviest loads are lighter. When our hearts break for ourselves and for others, Christ meets us there with mercy, not judgment. To lay down your burdens is not to forget or to move on or to give in, but to stop carrying the grief alone. Christ invites us to let go of solitary striving and accept companionship, where pain is shared and transformed by tender mercy. I want to offer today 5 simple words as practical gifts of grace for the journey of grief. Tears, tenderness, talking, time, and togetherness. These 5 T's are not magic formulas, rather they are faithful companions. drawn both from the wisdom of our faith and the insights of those who have studied and those who know healing and loss. They remind us that while we cannot escape grief, we can journey through it with God and with each other. First, tears. Sometimes we feel the pressure to hold it all together, to keep the tears bottled up or hidden away. Sometimes people tell me they don't come to church because they're afraid they'll cry. Yet Jesus himself wept at the tomb of a friend. The Psalms are filled with tears and lament. Tears are a holy expression of our love and loss. They release what words cannot. Let your tears come. Let them water the seeds of healing. As the psalmist says, God keeps track of all our sorrows and collects our tears. When we allow ourselves to cry, we honor both our pain and our love. The second is tenderness. Grief can make us harsh with ourselves, judging our feelings or berating ourselves for not doing better or doing more. Instead, practice tenderness. Treat yourself as you would a beloved friend, with patience, kindness, and gentleness. Rest when you need it. Accept help. Let others care for you. After all, Jesus' invitation to take his yoke is an invitation to gentleness and companionship, not to striving. And the third, talking. Grief can be isolating. It's tempting to fall silent, to think no one will understand. Yet one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves and one another is honest conversation. In talking, we break the silence of pain and let others in, so healing can begin with the sound of kind and listening ears. Fourth, time. Healing does not rush by anyone's timeline. Our world expects people to move on quickly, but real grief unfolds slowly in its own rhythm. It's okay to still feel sorrow after many months or many years or many decades. It means your love was deep. Time doesn't erase loss, but it can gently soften the hardest edges and help us to see where light broke in. Trust in the slow work of God and let yourself move at your own pace without shame or hurry. And finally, togetherness. Most importantly, remember that grief is meant to be shared. Our burdens are lighter when we carry them in community. This is part of the yoke. As we gather for prayer, at the table for communion, in quiet visits and shared meals. Just after church today, we begin a new grief and loss support group. They'll meet in the green room, a place to practice all five of these T's and to be reminded of the healing power of together is what church is for. We come as we are, carrying burdens, and we discover that in Christ, in community, we never walk alone. I want to close with a story from last week in Harlan, Kentucky, where I was serving with our youth at Appalachia Service Project on our mission trip. Harlan is a community that knows grief, tucked deep in the mountains that once boomed with coal but now bear the scars of loss. At its peak, the population of this county was over 70,000 in the 1950s. Today, there are less than 25,000 residents. The political battles around coal mining were personal there. As I walked through the center of town, I was struck by a memorial listing hundreds, perhaps even thousands, of miners who died since the 1930s, just from Harlan County. Danger and sacrifice marked every family. And though mining has become safer, the last name had been added as recently as 2022. Life is challenging in this part of the country. In Harlan, nearly half of the children grow up in poverty and over one-third of all adults. Life expectancy is just 67 years old, 10 years younger than the average for the nation. And there is a severe shortage of medical doctors and access to medical care. I had the privilege of floating around among our three different work groups. And on Thursday, I joined one of our work crews who was working about 25 minutes outside of town at the home of a family who had three generations living together. There I met Zoe, a bright and lively five-year-old. She was, as some of the members of the group said, a diva. Ecstatically bossing us and the animals around with her boundless energy. But then at one point, a butterfly danced past, and Zoe stopped, pointed, and said, "There's Mima," knowing already that her grandmother had died just 2 years earlier at the young age of 54 from cancer. I gently said something pastoral to her, how it's so special that when she sees butterflies, it reminds her of her grandma. But Zoe, with childlike wisdom, corrected me. "No, that is me, Ma. She is always with me." Her words stayed with me. The courage to claim love as an abiding presence, even after loss. In that moment, gentle as a butterfly, I saw the gospel lived out. Mima's love transformed, not lost. Comfort fluttering close, even in grief. This is what Christ offers to us. Not erasure of sorrow, but presence in it. So let us embrace our tears, speak our hearts, move with time, offer ourselves tenderness, and lean into togetherness. In these ways, the burdens of grief are transformed, not vanished, but lightened, carried by God's love and upheld by the open hands of one another. Hear this word of blessing. Dear ones, life outside these walls will remain complex, and sorrow does not disappear at the church door. Yet we do not carry grief alone. Christ walks with us, gentle and humble in heart. We are sustained by the presence of God who draws near to the brokenhearted, and by each other, companions in hope and healing. May you find rest for your soul here, strength for the journey ahead, and know that the peace of Christ is with you today and always. Amen. Amen.